61 reporting in service. Starting mileage 28,379. On station call to meet unit 5-3 at Overland and Braddock.
Control under 5-6-10-4. On station call, 6:14 p.m. Starting night watch.
This is Don Reed, a police recorder. At the moment, you're in the back of Detective Unit 5-6, just reporting in service on the night watch. That was Sergeant Ron Perkins radioing Control 1. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to meet Car 5-3 and pick up a detective from the forgery detail. But first, I want to remind you, these people are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is what happens on the night watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors, there is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California. W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Car 5-6, already on investigation somewhere in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
It's 6:48 p.m., and at the moment we're en route to a Bay City to attempt to pick up a hot check suspect. Briefly, this is the picture. A few moments ago, we picked up Detective Hanson, forgery detail. He has definite information that a suspect wanted for cashing bad checks is now in a bar in Santa Monica. Just at this moment, we're going over a hill. Below us, the lights of this Bay City. And beyond, the Pacific Ocean with hundreds of little sailboats out there in the harbor, just barely visible in the semi-darkness. Hanson's going to use the radio now.
Go ahead.
Would you call West L.A. and tell them to have Sergeant Barr meet me in the parking lot behind the Georgian Hotel on Ocean Street in Santa Monica. He's expecting the call.
Well, how come Barr can identify this guy? Was he in the market at the time?
On Friday and Saturday night, Barr works there extra watching the check cashing stand. And when this fellow tried to cash the check, they recognized the name because it said Stuckum on a whole bunch of checks before he was picked up the last time. And as soon as they made him, he run out of the store, Barr right after him. He went over that concrete wall fence in the back a little faster than Barr did and got away. So I told him I'd meet him tonight. If we made the meet, he would be down for me to give him a call and he'd come down and see if he could identify him. Was the guy.
Well, that's the deal. If the suspect is in the bar, we'll hold him and see if the other officer can identify him. We're swinging into the hotel parking lot.
You want to go through the back door, Hanson, and I'll go into the front way?
We'll take up station here behind a couple of palm trees. There's a clear view straight through to the bar. I can see right through the front door. About 8 or 10 people are sitting on the stools there. One note I forgot to add. This suspect is a 3-time loser on the same charge. His record shows 3 arrests and 3 prison terms. In fact, I understand he just got out of jail, or joint, as some of the prisoners call it. Of course, as you heard, his big mistake, he left the market in such a hurry he forgot his driver's license. Now, Sergeant Perkins is coming through the front door and is meeting Detective Hanson. They're talking with someone at the bar. It's too dark to identify. The three are coming this way. Well, that's our boy, all right. I recognize him from the mug photo. Get a good look at the suspect under the lights. Tall, thin, sallow complexion. Well, we're all getting in the car now. The L.A. officer will be along in just a moment. and see if he can identify the suspect. Meanwhile, let's see what he has to say.
I've been in trouble with my record. What the heck's going to happen?
Well, how about the checks?
I blew my top one night and made a mistake.
And now about your old operator's license. Where is it?
That I don't know.
Now, don't give me any baloney.
I'm not. I'm giving it to you straight. I don't know.
Were you in Thrift Mart and tried to cash that check?
No, sir. No, sir. Absolutely not.
You tried to cash a check there where you'd cashed some before. They recognized the name and chased you out. And Sergeant Barr of West L.A. chased you, and you got away from him when you jumped over the brick fence in the back.
That wasn't me.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
What if he saw you?
Well, I wouldn't know whether he saw me or not. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know who you're talking about, so... That I didn't have anything to do with.
Well, where did you lose your operator's license?
Well, I don't know. I think I lost it when I first came back.
After you came back from the joint?
Yeah. I don't know. Just one day I happened to look for my license and I didn't have it. I mean...
How long have you been out of the joint?
December.
How much time did you spend up there?
Yeah. I might look like the guy or something. I don't know. I mean, that's part I wouldn't know. But I sure as heck I'm not the guy.
This is the only check you have out?
The one I was telling you about.
There's none other anywhere else?
No.
What's going to happen the next time you get drunk?
I'm not going to get drunk. I'm working now and I...
How'd you find out that you'd written the check if you were drunk that night?
I didn't even know I'd written it.
You're Sergeant Barr now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Pulling in beside our car. The officer who possibly can identify the suspect. Let's get out of the car. Sergeant's coming over. Studying the suspect.
I would say yes. I have a copy of his operator's license.
You have?
I can check his thumbprint against the one on his operator's license.
Well, he doesn't deny the operator's license. But that's where he lived. On paper, but he says that just after he got out of the joint that he lost his operator's license.
What, an operator's license or a chauffeur's license?
Chauffeur's license.
Well, you lost your chauffeur's license to me. You're lucky you didn't get a lid.
I don't think so.
No, I think so. You recall down at Thrift Mart when you passed the check? I mean, we're not kidding each other, and it's just a matter of fact. And to me, you appear to be the one. And when I check the operator's license against the thumbprint, I'll be satisfied. Other witnesses can identify you. And it fell up on top of the roof, threw a brick at you, but he missed you when you went over the fence. In fact, you have another check out that you passed at the same market prior to this time. That you didn't pick up. Do you recall that?
Oh, yeah. I recall that if you're talking about the market up there on Venice Boulevard...
Yeah, so why did you run that day?
Well, as far as the checks are concerned at that market, yes, you are very correct. I have passed the check there.
Oh.
And for that, I did time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, you're so right.
How about
there.
The one that you passed the day you ran? There's no use of denying it. It's a matter of fact now. I mean, we're not trying to put anything on you that doesn't belong on you, but they still have the check. They still have your chauffeur's license. And what you lost, that is true, but you lost it at the market that day, not after you get out of the joint. Can't imagine that, right? It's just a matter of getting witnesses to prove it, then, so on which are available. A little hard up for dough, is that it?
Well... The suspect, as you heard, denies all knowledge of the crime, so he's being placed in the back seat of our car, and the officers are walking over here for a little private conference. Let's go on up the car now and see if he tells the same story when the officers are not around. You don't think you fooled that officer by any chance, do you?
See, if I haven't been in no trouble in my life, I'd have said yes. I'm a loser. So what am I going to do? Stand up there and say I'm the guy? I got to fight it out all the way.
Mm. Well, I knew this sergeant had you made the minute he came up.
Yeah, on that spotted right now. I had the same coat on. Of all times, I happen to have this on tonight. I haven't worn this in 3 weeks, and I happen to have it on tonight. Same coat.
Well, that's why he didn't have any trouble spotting you.
Sure.
The minute he walked up.
No, I knew when I heard him. I knew he was going to make me. I knew that.
You get up pretty early to fool him, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I wasn't trying to fool anybody.
Well, I was, too. I mean, in a way, yes, I was trying to fool somebody. But when I walked up here tonight, I figured that I was going.
When that sergeant made you?
Yeah, well, I figured then I was going for sure. So I didn't think there was any chance then. Any chance at all to get out.
How'd you have to go into that place to try to pass that hot check?
I remember that. See, I mean, I didn't say anything. He hollered to stop or I'll shoot, and I said, I'd shoot. But at the time, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered to me because I knew what it meant to me. If the man turns me back, I know where I'm going. 1 to 14 years, and I'm not about to do no 1 to 14 years.
That's right. You're a, what are you, a 2-time loser?
Three.
3-time loser?
3-time loser.
That's it, boy. You've had it.
That's right. I've had it. Exactly.
Okay, pal. I'm going over and talk with the officers.
What's up?
I was talking to the suspect off the record. He admits passing the bad checks and the escape.
Yeah? All we got to do is have him admit it to us now.
You'll hear him. I recorded the whole thing on tape.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. The people and sounds you hear are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. And now we switch you back to car 5-6 on patrol and to police recorder Don Reed.
We've been back on patrol for better than an hour. But a few moments ago, we received a call from car 5-2. They were holding a suspect and requested that we meet them. That's all the information we have. But we'll find out more about it in just a moment because right ahead, the flashing lights of a police unit. Officer Cameron has a young fellow in custody. His partner, Paul Good, coming over. Let's go over and see what this is all about. What do you got, Paul?
Well, the partner and I were cruising along, and we saw this kid walking down the street and had a pretty strange-looking package under his arm. So we turned around and shook him down and found out the kid's packing a 16-gauge shotgun. Got about 3 boxes of ammo with him, his cartridge belt full. Just wandering aimlessly around this time of night.
That's the boy, huh?
Yeah.
I've seen him before. We booked him on burglary. In fact, the other night, I stopped him for shooting BB guns at a car.
Right.
Looking over at the young fellow, he appears to be about 15 or 16, wearing Levi's with a GI cartridge belt wrapped around his middle. Sergeant Perkins is talking with the boy, so let's move right on over there.
All right, over here by Culver Center. You got a receipt for it?
No.
How much you pay for it?
Without the tax, it was $22.55.
They sold it to you?
Yeah. Walked in as I wanted to buy a shotgun. Those are shells. He says, I want to buy a shotgun. He sold me those, too.
Anybody has been arrested on a felony is not permitted to have a gun.
You're not going to get the guy in trouble, are you?
Yes, we are. If he sells a minor a gun, we certainly are. Take him up there.
Well, the young fellow is being placed in the back seat of car 5-2.
We're going to go on to the station. Take him in, too.
Here at the office of the Detective Bureau. The young boy picked up with a shotgun is just coming into the room, sitting across the desk from Sergeant Perkins. Not too worried about this problem, apparently, despite the fact among his previous arrests is burglary, a felony, which makes this charge of having a gun in his possession a very serious one.
How long ago would that be?
Oh, a couple weeks before we moved.
Your folks don't know that you have it?
Mm-mm.
What are they going to say?
I don't know what my dad's going to say. My mother won't say much.
Where were you going tonight with it?
I was taking it out of the bus stop. I was going to hide it in the weeds, see? And then in the morning, when I go down to the bus stop, pick it up and take it on the bus, because I couldn't take the chance of taking it out of the house with me. I mean, taking it out of the garage. taking her down the alley there and out.
Where were you going to take the gun?
Redondo Beach.
Why?
See, that's where a friend of mine lives. We go hunting up there. And way up in behind there, there's real nice hills for hunting. Hawks, not many rabbits, rattlesnakes, and...
Do you, you know how to handle that gun?
Mm-hmm.
You ever fired it?
Nope.
You ever fired a shotgun?
Yeah, I used a 12 and I've used a 16.
Do you know it's against the law for you to have one in your possession?
I had a faint idea about it, but I wasn't sure whether it was against the law for... I knew it was against the law for me to have it because my parents don't know I've got it. And I bought it... I don't know whether you'd consider it buying the illegal. I told the guy, my parents said it was okay, so he sold it to me.
When were you arrested for burglary? What was the date? In February this year?
You mean...
The first time.
The tools, the deals?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The first part of this year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, I see, when everybody picked me up and they asked me, why did you swipe the tools? I said, I didn't know. Well, it was for the money to get the gun. You see, I was starting collecting right then. And a couple times since, my mother's found little bits of money. I told her I was saving up for other things, but I was saving it for the gun. And seeing I was going to sell those tools for $10, and I already had 15, and that's all I needed to buy the gun. But then you caught me on that deal, so I didn't get the 10.
The other day when I talked to you, I told you about those BB guns. And within 2 days after that, you're out firing BB guns again. Seems to me you don't learn.
I wasn't going to hurt anything with a gun.
You don't consider hurting anything or anybody by stealing the money to buy the gun.
But I didn't steal the money to buy the gun. I was going to steal the money, but you caught me for it, so then I had to save it out of my other money.
Well, it's like you're going to spend a little time with us tonight.
Why?
For having that shotgun. Apparently, somebody doesn't have proper control over you. You hear, I'm one burglary.
I didn't steal the gun.
I'm not talking about stealing the gun. It's possession that's illegal. Even under the age of 18. You knew it was wrong. Otherwise, you'd have told your parents about it. You knew your parents wouldn't approve of your having that gun.
They don't trust me with a gun.
I don't either. That's why you're here. Take him upstairs. Put him in the cell.
The boy is being escorted from the office. He will be held here temporarily, at least until the investigation is completed. About 45 minutes have passed since we talked to the young boy. Meanwhile, the sergeant put in a call for the owner of the store where the gun was purchased. He has just entered the office.
Sorry to have you,
Nervous. Not quite sure what it's all about.
I wanted to get some information. Do you sell any firearms down there at your store?
Well, we sell 22s once in a while, and we take orders on them. We don't actually
any
stock
them. Any shotguns down there?
We don't stock them at all.
Do you sell any? Have you sold any in the last couple months down there?
I think we sold one.
Who was that to? Do you remember?
Some young fella.
How old was he?
About 16, I guess.
How about shotgun shells?
Yes, we sold the same fella shells.
Are you the owner of the store there?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the ordinance that prohibits the sale of firearms to minors?
Actually, I'm not familiar one way or the other with it,
Have you been informed relative to selling of firearms?
No.
Radio car officers, Officer Cameron and Officer Good, picked up a 16-year-old boy tonight carrying a shotgun and all these shotgun shells. He purchased the shotgun from your store. Now, as far as we're concerned, it's a very serious thing.
This kid has been... I honestly don't know when he started to buy them, but he'd been coming in and buying shells. Now, whether he came in once with his father or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He had been looking at this gun for months and months and said his father finally gave him permission to get it. And he brought in, in fact, it took us maybe 3-4 weeks to get the gun for him. And that's how we sold it to him. Well, but I actually thought that he had his father's consent.
His parents know nothing about the gun whatsoever.
See, he said his parents gave him the money.
But he is a juvenile, and it's your responsibility to...
I realize that now. Believe me, I guess I have to take the full responsibility for it. I realize the seriousness. Really, I do.
Well, it's more serious than I think than you realize, because this boy is not the type of boy that should have a gun. Somebody might have gotten hurt. And if somebody had gotten hurt, you would be criminally responsible, the same as the boy and his parents. Now, we have no alternative in this particular case but to request that the city attorney file a complaint against you. But I would suggest that in the future that you refrain from selling any type of a deadly weapon.
Well, I definitely will. I mean, I'm just sick, that's all. I've never done anything wrong. I've always tried to do the right thing. That's all. Thank God nobody was hurt. I mean, I'm not trying to ease myself. I'm just sick, that's all, really.
One thing that probably the fact the officer spotted him before somebody got hurt with a gun.
I'm just sick about it. I'll go outside. My wife will give me worse than what you did so far. But I really am very sick about this thing. And anything that I can do, I will do.
I've always been
cooperative, and I certainly didn't want to do anything that was...
I'll drop down first part of the week and discuss it with you. I'm sure we'll work out.
Okay, thank you for coming in.
Well, most of the investigation is over on this case. We're on the last lap. That is, we're about to notify the parents of this young fellow with a shotgun. Now, we're just pulling up in front of his house. Up the walk. It's a modest home here in the suburbs. A couple of bikes and some roller skates on the porch. Young, attractive woman coming to the door. Screen's open. Sergeant is advising her of the problem.
Oh, God, no, Mr. Meyer. I thought I was going to show, and I thought it was at a kid's house, and I'm just sick.
Okay.
Oh, come on. What happened now?
Well,
we're moving furniture
here.
That's
all right. He was carrying a shotgun down here earlier this evening.
A shotgun?
A shotgun.
You mean a real shotgun?
Real shotgun. A bunch of shotgun shells. He bought the gun about a month and a half ago from this store over here.
Uh-huh.
They sold it to him. We talked to the manager. He's admitted it, and we're filing action against him for selling to a minor.
Oh, I've been so mad at them. They've sold shells, and he's given them to other kids, and they'll sell anything to any kid. No matter who it is, they'll sell anything if they have the money.
Well, we're putting a stop to it because we're filing action against them on that basis.
Well, we had everything settled yesterday. We talked it all over, and we're going to take him to a doctor and have treatment, and I can hardly talk. I got so upset when I got home. We decided that everything would be okay, and we would let him have psychiatric treatment, mm-hmm. which we thought would straighten him out and all that. He shouldn't be out at night, and I haven't let him be. So tonight, we wanted to go to the drive-in, and we asked him to go, and he didn't want to go to the drive-in. I got home, and he wasn't home.
Well, we were trying to get hold of his first chance we had to get back down here.
Has he done anything, though? I mean, can he come home?
Yes, we can be released.
Oh, I'm telling you.
But the thing, the fact that the trouble he's been in and the fact that he was carrying this gun, he could have gotten into trouble.
Uh-huh.
Somebody could have gotten hurt. That's a pretty deadly weapon, that shotgun. Well, if you want to, can you go to get your car?
Yes.
You want to go on down and I'll notify them to release
him? Do I have
him?
To go in there again?
No.
Oh, God.
Check him out.
Okay, let's go.
Well, the problem seems fairly well squared away. The boy will be released to his mother.
I'll be right back.
Well,
get your PJs on, honey.
All right, I'll call you. Let him go. Good night.
Let's get back to our radio car.
5-6 to 1.
Throw one to 5-6. Go ahead.
5-6, on our present call in regards to the possession of a shotgun, will you release the juvenile to his mother? She'll be at the station in about 5 minutes. I'll sign the necessary papers when I 10-19.
Control 1-5-6-10-4, will do.
You know, Perk, I had a mania for guns when I was a kid, too. You know, maybe this whole thing could have been avoided if he had a dad like mine. He used to take me hunting.
Could be.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually happened. And now, back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first investigation involving the suspect passing bad checks, the case took an unusual twist inasmuch as the suspect denied any knowledge of the crime when first questioned by the officers. However, after listening to his recorded admission, he confessed he was the man who had attempted escape after passing the bad check. The final investigation of the boy illegally possessing a shotgun showed where we must have the cooperation of store owners where firearms are sold. Many tragedies will be avoided in the future if tonight's case is well remembered. No police department can cooperate efficiently without the eyes and ears of the American public. To further that cause is the reason we bring you Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed.